Well, it's that time of the week where we talk to the former Leeds United Football Club chairman, Ken Bates, who joins us live from Cape Town in South Africa. Ken, first of all, how are you?
Very well. It's very windy in Cape Town. Makes you not feel homesick for Leeds.
Well, it's very windy here. Let's start then with the big news at Leeds United this week. They have appointed Paul Bell as the new Leeds United FC Executive Director. What do you make of that appointment, Ken?
I think it's fantastic news. And it's great that Massimo has got him back. Paul Bell is a very talented man. I remember when I first hired him, he's working, I think, for Portsmouth, Southampton, I think Portsmouth. And he came over to Monte Carlo for the interview with Sean Harvey. I was sitting in what Susanna called my office, over the terrace of the Café de Paris, reading the paper and having a glass of champagne. I looked up. I saw this man walking towards me with a purposeful look. I'd never met him before. I thought, that's Paul Bell. And he's got the job. So we sat down and talked for 2 hours, had lunch, blah, 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 blah. And he came to a club which had a very poor commercial system. I won't mention my names, but his predecessors were both not up to scratch. So he started from a very low base. He did a fantastic job for Leeds United. I was very sure the bloody Arabs were useless. He just wanted to sack people and cut wages without looking at the consequences thereof. So he left, and I think he went to Sheffield Wednesday. And really did a good job. And the fact that Massimo, and if I may say, Massimo, one of your better judgments, movements, got him back. Not only a commercial manager, but a director. It's fantastic. It's a great step forward for Leeds United. We should all be very pleased with it. And I wish him well. In fact, I rang him up yesterday to congratulate him and say welcome back home. And I'm delighted for him. That's one of the best signings for Leeds Massimo has done since he joined the club.
And would you say it's a good time for him to come into the club? Maybe helping with transfers in January, possibly?
Well, that's not his job. His job, I mean, I don't know what his terms of reference are. He needs to come in. Excuse me, cut that bit out. His job is to... Let me explain to you. Let me put it out for the fans, OK? A football club is a business, whether you like it or not, it's a business. They open for business 25 times a year. That's when you bring your money in. Can you imagine any other business in the world could open for 25 out of 365 days a year to make a profit? Of course you can't. And football cannot do the same. It's a 340 days a year. You don't play football. You have to bring money into the club. That's Paul Bell's job. So I'd be surprised if he's involved in the transfers. His job is to do commercial contracts, sell season tickets, sell sponsorships, bring in money to the club that does not depend on the gate receipts, because you cannot, although people swear their allegiance to the club, blah, 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 we get all that. But fans come when they're winning, and they don't tend not to come when they're losing, but give food for thought. When Leeds beat Rotherham on Saturday, right, it's a local derby, it's a cup match, there's 16,000 people there. Previous time, 24,000. But the players still want the same wages, whether there's 16,000 people there or 24,000 people there. Paul Bell's job is to do what he was doing so well when I was chairman, leading a competent professional team to generate income that does not depend on results and does not depend upon the weather.
What about on the pitch? Leeds' good unbeaten run came to an end against Ipswich. Your thoughts on that, Ken?
Leeds took the lead in 12 seconds and lost the game in the 91st minute. If you look back recently over the pattern of Leeds' results, you know, we got an equaliser against MK Dons with an own goal headed in at the 90th minute. It's almost as if between the first minute and the 90th minute, not a lot happens, but all of a sudden, boom, makes it exciting. Leeds are now 12 points off the playoff position with an inferior goal difference and 20 games to go. Well, they'll say, you know, one thing doesn't make a summer, one defeat doesn't make a winter. So we've still got 20 games to go. But to make up, with the goal to make up 13 points in 20 games is a big challenge. And but maybe the manager would be concentrating now on experimenting and playing around to get his team right for next season. That's what I always used to do. Once you knew that you weren't going to get relegated, you never try getting promoted, and you blood the kids, give them experience, see how good or bad they are, how much can they do. And of course, Leeds fans like Yorkshire kids, they're very nationalistic. Yorkshire kids, Leeds kids. I think we've got about five in the squad at the moment. This is a chance now to give the kids a chance to prove how good they are.
So if you were the chairman, would you be giving Steve Evans some funds to go out and make additions in this transfer window?
I can't really comment because, first of all, would I have Mr. Evans as my manager? I don't know. And obviously, living in Monaco, I don't know the content of the team. So I don't know their weak conditions in the distance. But I think Massimo has to make a take a view. Is there a chance of getting into the top six? And if the answer in his opinion is yes, then you spend the allocated funds to strengthen that bid. But if, on the other hand, looking heart to heart, you say no, well, you don't strengthen your team. You're concentrating your scouting and finding players for next season. And of course, I don't know what the scouting system is now. Of course, we lost Gwyn Williams. And again, the bloody Arabs. Sort of £200,000 a year. But Gwyn Williams has worked for me since 1982, so what's that? 34 years. He's produced millions of pounds of talent in that period of time. And so if I was still chairman, Gwyn Williams would still be there. And we'd find him all the players I want for next season. So it's not yes or no, it's not black and white. But Massimo has to make a decision. Does he think he's going to get in the top six? If he thinks he does, then obviously he spends money to encourage and support the manager. If he doesn't, he doesn't waste his money. I've been picking up kids for cheap. No plans for the summer transfer.
Well, there's a big game in the Youth FA Cup tonight. Maybe that's a good chance for some of the under-18s to catch Steve Evans' eye and make a case for a first-team spot.
Well, first of all, it's a worthy challenge, isn't it? Leeds versus City. The only problem, once again, is I don't know what City's youth policy is. I haven't seen many City young kids breaking through the first team, a bit like Chelsea, if you like. So it depends what their youth policy is. It's got to be a challenge. And again, the manager must decide, come on, I was saying before, are they going to go for it this season? Going to plan for next season? And who knows? Might be a few kids in Man City team that got no future at in Manchester. But it's very difficult to discuss that sort of thing over in an interview, because there's nothing black and white. It's already subject to this and subject to that. But I hope, I'm trying to say to the fans, that it's much more complicated than it appears on the surface. Meanwhile, go up to the kids tonight. My message to them is, this is your big chance. Show the manager what you're capable of against, I assume, first-class opposition. And good luck.
Okay, let's move on from Leeds United for the time being and move on to the subject of the IAAF. Corruption, Russian doping scandal, it's all going off there. What are your thoughts on all of what is happening at the IAAF, Ken?
Well, on IAAF, I think it's a big test for Seb Coe. I've known him for 30-odd years because he used to be he's a great supporter of Chelsea. And I have to take my hat off to him because he beat the system. I'll tell a little story about him because I said, OK, we're not going to sell any season tickets in the South Stand at Stamford Bridge. Go on to the ordinary fans who couldn't afford a season ticket, have an opportunity, sit round the goal on a first-come, first-served basis. So Seb Coe became very friendly with the ticket office manager. And he always wanted the two seats on the front row in the middle. So it's quite simple. He ensured that the ticket manager didn't sell those two tickets until Seb came in, bought the two tickets from his mate on a match day basis. This goes to show that no matter what system you introduce, there's always some clever bugger that can outwit you. So good luck to him. I watched him grow and come up and go through, if you like, the ranks of the Olympics and international sport, athletic. Now he's at the summit. He's the Obama of athletics. He's the Putin of athletics. He's the top man. Whatever he wants, he can get if he takes that decision. Now, because the evidence come out quite clear, the Russian state systematically approved doping and hid it. I mean, evidence will come out. And the big question is Lord Coe man enough to ban Russia for the Olympics in Rio? If he isn't, we're ticking it out. If he does, he'll be such a significant man in the history of international athletics. He'll go down in history as one of the major people who cleaned up sport. So I wish him luck. I'll be watching you on TV this afternoon, listening, not speaking. That's him, not me. And he's got a great opportunity. And the committee and council are investigating it. Basically, put it back in his court. How much do you want it? Has he got the guts to do it? And defy Russia? Very intimidating situation. But I think he might just have what it really takes. Getting back, of course, to our dear old FIFA. corrupt ridden, bribery ridden, money going walkabouts. They should shut the bloody place down. Put Blatter, Platini and Volk in jail and start again. Because you see, whoever goes in to run FIFA, they have an administration which has been, if you like, brought up, suborned, and all for so many years, we'd know where to start. Bit of shutting the thing down, turning all the paper over to the Swiss prosecutors, and more importantly, the FBI in America, starting again. I'll tell you about a story about Platini. I think I've told it before, but bear with me, I'll tell it again. 1988, it was the Football League, didn't have the permission, the Football League centenary. And they decided all kinds of celebrations and made. Management ran a mess of it. Last few of us sorted out. So one of the things was English League versus the rest of the world. And it was all played at Wembley. And I can't remember, I know Terry Venables was one of the managers, can't remember who the other one was now. But Platini was invited to be part of the rest of the world, which he was. And we said we'd pay the expenses. I think money from the game went to charity. So when Platini sent the expenses in, he sent it, I can remember it as yesterday, a bill for £5,000, the cost of a private jet from Paris to London. And I can remember Williamson saying to me, "Chairman, is there anything I should do?" I said, "Well, send him a cheque for a first-class return ticket, Paris, London, London, Paris, next to 20 quid, the taxi fares. And that's it." Which we did. He didn't get his £5,000. Never heard from him again. But that illustrates the man he was. £5,000 for private bloody jet. Who do you think he was? Ken Bates.
Thanks very much for your time today, KB.
Well done, Joe. Thanks very much.